Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers chapter 12. Israel is in the desert. They're in their second year. God's presence is dwelling among them, and Moses is leading the people in the desert. Verse 1, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it. Now let's stop there for a moment and just kind of take this in. So Miriam and Aaron are the sister and brother. Miriam had a role in taking care of Moses early in his life. And it appears that Moses's first wife, Zipporah, has passed away, and as a result, Moses married another woman, and they're complaining about Moses marrying this woman. God hasn't spoken about it. Perhaps Moses prayed about it, and the Lord, led Moses to feel as though God had approved of this marriage to the Cushite woman, who apparently means that she was from Ethiopia. So God does not speak in this passage about any problem that he has with this marriage, and yet his sister and brother, who have become, you know, leaders, especially Aaron, but Miriam was known as a prophetess, they're complaining. And in fact, they said, so I want you to see this in verse 2, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? And when they said that, they didn't just think it, they spoke it, and they may have indeed even spoke this in the presence of Israel. Has he not spoken through us as well? Meaning, can't we, you know, lead just like Moses, and doesn't God speak to us just like he speaks through Moses? They're questioning his leadership, and it appears that they're questioning his leadership publicly. And God is, as you'll see, is very concerned about this, because when Moses' closest people are questioning him, potentially in the public with others around, it's going to really put tension on Moses' leadership, and people can begin questioning him. And, you know, Moses is the one who God delivered the law through, so now we could have havoc in Israel because of the questioning of Moses and Aaron. Now, here's something that I really think needs to be said or talked about. You know, and on our church website, cometothecrossing.org, cometothecrossing.org, you can find a conflict of interest policy, if you want to call it a policy. It'd be more so to talk about like what the scriptures have to say about how to handle conflict and or to handle situations like this. And one of the things is they, you know, blessed is the man who overlooks an offense. And if for some reason you think something's not proper, you know, sometimes you can just overlook it. You know, if there's maybe somebody said something to you and, you know, you're mildly offended about it, you know, just overlooking it and moving on, not making a big deal of everything, that saves a lot of problems right there and is wise to do. However, if something you feel is too big to just simply overlook, then the thing to do is to humbly come with care and be inquisitive and talk to the person privately. And this goes back to Matthew 18, go and talk to your brother alone. So don't say it publicly. Don't talk in the public. Go and find out if there's some kind of misunderstanding and come humble. And so Miriam and Aaron could say, hey, Aaron, or excuse, hey, Moses, tell us what are you, you know, how is it that you chose to marry this Cushite woman? Do you feel like, you know, it's something that God approves humbly? And see what he had to say. And maybe he would have said, you know what, I've spoken to the Lord, I've prayed about it, and yes, I feel God's blessing is upon this. Why, what are you thinking, Miriam and Aaron? And they could have talked about it, and maybe walked away with unity and done it privately and not brought anything into the camp. So that's what they should have did. But instead, they're rising up against Moses and saying, hey, we can do what Moses can do. And it's they're challenging his leadership. Now, in verse 3, it says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. That's an interesting comment about Moses and what a great attribute he had. Suddenly, listen to this. God knows, by the way, God knows when we're gossiping. God knows when we're saying things about someone we shouldn't. And God knows. So suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, you three come to the tent of meeting. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, now this is God. Listen to what's said here. Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. This is how he's saying he speaks with other prophets. But he says here in verse 7, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? God saw what they were doing, and God held him accountable and brought him forward and said, listen, you don't understand. Moses is even beyond the prophets. I speak with him in a more direct manner, and you guys should not have come and began to spread gossip regarding Moses. Let's see what happens here, and then we'll talk about what we can learn from this more. So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin to us, in which we have acted foolishly, and in which we have sinned. And you know what? What a great thing for Aaron to do there is he's acknowledging that they've been foolish and he's acknowledging that they've sinned. And he's pleading to Moses to plead on behalf of God to not allow Miriam to experience this leprosy. Oh, do not let her be like one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb. Moses cried out to the Lord saying, oh God, heal her, I pray. And what a great thing. I mean, Moses right away, now this was his sister, but he wanted her healed. He, even though he probably also felt what they did was wrong, this was God's doing though, but he had compassion. He was a humble man. But the Lord said to Moses, listen to this. If her father had but spit in her face, would she not bear her shame for 7 days? Let her be shut out for 7 days outside the camp, and afterwards she may be received again. So Miriam was shut up outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until Miriam was received again. Afterward, however, the people moved out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. So God wanted Miriam and Aaron to experience some discipline for what they did wrong. He didn't just immediately have it go away. He had her, you know, have to be cured of her leprosy after 7 days, which was another miracle of God. But she had to endure, and Aaron too, just on account of his sister, for what they did wrong. And I think there's something even to be said for that. You know, sometimes we're going to be disciplined by the Lord. Sometimes, even though God forgives us, and now he's forgiven us through Jesus, we still may receive consequences for our sinfulness on earth. And in fact, perhaps, you know, this was an important thing for Miriam and Aaron to experience so that they wouldn't do it again and so that they could learn a lesson from this. And Indeed, Miriam in her life was largely faithful to God and is a good example of a servant of the Lord in the Bible. But, you know, servants of the Lord sometimes make mistakes, and this was one where she did, and she's being disciplined for it, but I don't believe she, you know, will find her doing this mistake again. Can you imagine for a woman being leprous for a week would be quite startling, I'm sure, for anyone. But anyways, this is a really valuable lesson. I was thinking about how I could explain this, and, you know, obviously I'm a pastor. I don't want to be self-serving at all, but just imagine for a moment a pastor of your church, and all of a sudden he pulls in to church and he's got a brand new Lexus. You know, maybe it's a $60,000, $70,000 car. I don't even know how much they cost. By the way, I'm not a car person. I usually buy used cars, but nonetheless, doesn't matter. Let's say your pastor walks in to church, comes to church with a brand new Lexus, and people are like, well, how in the heck is he affording that? What are we paying this guy? And all of a sudden, instead of just thinking that in your mind and then dismissing it, people are starting to talk out publicly, out loud. Now, they haven't said anything to pastor. They didn't overlook an offense. They should have just overlooked it and kept their mouth shut. But instead, they start gossiping about it. And now it's spreading among the congregation. Oh, how is it that our pastor affords a Lexus? Can you believe he did that? Well, you know what? There could be a lot more that you don't know. Perhaps he received an inheritance. Perhaps it was a gift from their parents. Perhaps it was a long, long-standing desire that, you know, this person always wanted to have a new Lexus, and they bought used cars their whole life. And then eventually, finally, you know what? They've been serving God. They've been blessed. Things have gone well. And they said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get myself a Lexus. I've always wanted it. And I just feel like the Lord's just blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this Lexus. And, you know, by the way, do you know what that pastor gives? Do you know how they tithe? Do you know what they do with the rest of their money? So we have no idea, right? There's so many things we don't know about their life, their finances, their devotion to God. So just to assume because they got a Lexus, all of a sudden they did something wrong would be a bad assumption to make. And for some reason, if it really bothered someone, you know, you could talk to the pastor and say, hey, can you explain to me how I see you got a new car, and just kind of curious, like what led you to get that? But to come humbly and not accusationally, because there may be more to the story. So I just think it's important that we are careful, you know. And in fact, let me share something with you, because, you know, we have elders at our church, and, you know, I'm one of the elders at our church, but we have other elders, and we are governed by a plurality of elders at our church, meaning I only have one vote, and, you know, I help lead the elder team, but, you know, I'm just one of other elders at our church. And I want to read to you something. So this would apply to elders and the pastor, but I think it really, in a sense, can apply to everyone in a general sense, that we should honor one another and be careful about what we speak. It says in 1 Timothy 5, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin reprove in the presence of all, so that the rest will also be fearful. Now, listen to that real quick. First of all, don't bring an accusation unless it's really, really needed. And then it says those who continue in sin. So someone who really is having problems with sin, sometimes it needs to be, you know, there needs to be a public aspect to it, like there was with Miriam, so that other people don't do it. And did I skip something first? Oh, yeah, verse 17. So I got ahead of myself. It says in verse 17, the elders who lead well are to be considered worthy of double honor. So everyone should be honored, by the way. We should honor one another. The Bible talks about honoring one another. But it says the elders who lead well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor at preaching the word and teaching. So that's something to be said. We should be careful. And they weren't careful enough here, Miriam and Aaron, about talking and gossiping about Moses. They should have just talked to him one-on-one, and that would have been a better way to handle it, or just not said anything at all. But it's, you know, it's okay. So, like, let me say this, too. We could go too far with what I'm saying, too. Now, they should not have gossiped in front of people and questioned his leadership in front of people without ever talking to him privately. But that's also to not to say that you shouldn't talk to a leader or in humility and love, because, you know, what if a leader is getting wayward? What if someone in your life is getting wayward? It's important that, you know, none of us are perfect, or that we couldn't fall into complacency. You know, I golf on Thursdays, and I was golfing with a guy, and he's of a liturgical, you know, different kind of church background. And, but he's a nice man, you know, he's a nice man, and we talk about things of faith. He sings on the choir. In fact, he had to go to choir practice after golf last night. You know, and good for him for serving in that way. And he's talked about the Bible, and so we're talking and stuff like that. But when he would hit a bad shot, sometimes he'd use the Lord's name in vain. And I was playing with actually two other Christians, so it was kind of a cool thing. So in a sense, there were four of us that believed in God, three of us more of a maybe a like-minded church situation, and then one of a different church situation. Well, this other guy, he was using the Lord's name in vain, or at least that's what we heard many times. And so finally, towards the end of the round, somebody said something kind of offhanded. And then I was going down, you know, the fairway with him in a cart. And I just said, "Hey, brother, I know you care about God, and I'm not sure you're aware, but you are using the Lord's name in vain quite often." And he actually didn't think he was, and I'm like, "Well, it sure sounds like it to us." And anyways, he handled it well. He was actually, he cared, and he was kind of embarrassed, and he kind of felt like he wasn't. He was saying something else that we were interpreting as that. And I said, "Well, even if that were the case, you know, it sounds like it to all of us. You might want to try to say something different so it doesn't sound like that." But he was humble, and he was good, and he cared. Like, he did not want to be doing that. And you know, that was pretty cool. But I didn't say a word to anybody else. You know, he had to leave to go to choir practice. I didn't mention anything to anyone else. I just talked to him, and it was just him and I. And I think, you know what, he probably think he was probably embarrassed, but I think he probably appreciated it, because he doesn't want to be doing that. And, you know, I didn't dishonor him by talking to anyone else in the group before or after. So I think maybe that was a good example. I probably have plenty of bad examples where I haven't handled things right in my life as well. But overlook offenses. If you think it's something significant, come to them inquisitive and honor them, and come humble. But you can talk to people one-on-one about things. That's okay to do so. But be careful to make assumptions, because it can happen all the time where we just, our mind starts going with some kind of an assumption, and it may be based on a false reality. And I believe, because God's not holding Moses accountable to this marriage, likely God did permit it, because he's surely defending Moses here. So they should not have handled it in that way. So I hope there's something we can learn. It's really good for our relationships when we begin with honoring one another. And if a elder or a pastor today is worthy of double honor, how much more Moses, right? Thanks for listening. I pray that this helps you and blesses you in your relationships moving forward. God bless you all.